Last month, on the 4th and 5th of June, Britain celebrated the Platinum Jubilee of Her Majesty the Queen, Elizabeth II, commemorating her record 70 years on the throne. But how many of those who bought put-up bunting, bought mini Union Jacks, and celebrated with a barbecue know that she's a descendant of King David and is keeping the throne warm, so to speak, until Christ returns and claims it? Probably very, very few. We, the called and baptized members of God's church, have the awesome potential to become kings and priests in the world tomorrow, ruling and teaching under the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, when he returns to take over the throne that the Queen is currently occupying. We've been told in plain English that we shall be kings and priests, so there isn't any way we can misinterpret that. Just put in your notes Revelation 5, verse 10, which states that, "And he hath made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." My question today is, what does it take to be a king? I would like to briefly look at two of the characteristics we will need to develop in order to fulfill the potential and be godly kings for eternity: wisdom and righteous judgment. If you would like to please turn with me to 1 Kings 3, and we'll read verses 5 to 12 of how the wisest man who ever lived received his great wisdom. 1 Kings 3, we'll start in verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept from him the greatest kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked for this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked for this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hath asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked for the life of thy enemies, but thou hast asked for thy understanding to discern judgment. Behold, it I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." Not all of us are given dreams where God's asked us what we would like. So how do we go about receiving wisdom? There are hundreds of verses in the Bible that relate to wisdom. Just in the book of Proverbs alone, their wisdom is mentioned 54 times. And obviously, I can't go through all of them in just one sermonette. But the answer to our question is actually found in James. So if you'd like to turn with me to James 1, and we'll read verses 5 to 7. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let him not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." In his personal, in the March 1984 issue of The Good News, Mr. Armstrong expounds on this scripture. "To go to God for the wisdom to know what to do, and the power to be able to do it, requires faith. This is the living faith. It is alive. It is active. When we meet such trials, we often don't know what to do. We lack the wisdom to make the right decision." So open up your Bibles to the first chapter of James and notice in verse 5, "If you lack wisdom in such trials, go to God for it, but ask in faith, no wavering, no doubting. Be sure God will not fail, but will give you the wisdom. Depend upon him for it. If you waver, you are like a wave in the ocean, tossed back and forth, going nowhere. So instead of wavering, be steadfast, and if you don't get the answer immediately from God, have patience, Don't give up. Trust him. End quote. If we go to God in faith and humbly ask him for wisdom, he will liberally, and I should think gladly, give us what is needed. Another scripture to put in your notes is Proverbs 9, verse 10, a very well-known scripture which states, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." This is also repeated in Psalm 111. Solomon, a human king, recognized that he would need wisdom to rule over the physical nation of Israel. How much more will we need wisdom as spirit beings ruling over, ultimately, the entire universe under Christ? Our future position is to be priests as well as kings. The priests were the ones whom ancient Israel would go to when they had a dispute and needed help resolving them. This requires wisdom as well as a knowledge of the law, and also requires the ability to judge righteously. Let's have a look now at the second characteristic, righteous judgment. It doesn't take much to realize that the entire world is very much lacking in righteous, or even vaguely sensible, judgment. Just in the last month, the prophetic news section of the church website has seen articles detailing several examples of judgments, ranging from the dangerous to the outright insane. Some of these headlines include, "Protesters claim abortion is an act of love, rather than the murder it actually is." California Assembly passes bill to expand abortion to include infanticide, again giving full acceptance and promotion of the very antithesis of God's law. Drag storytellers are now promoting love of diversity. It brings to mind the scripture about woe unto those who call good evil and evil good. And now, one of the sillier headlines I read. Bees are fish, US court declares. I'm lost for words on that one. Protecting yourself from bullets is now illegal in New York. The very fact that anybody needs protecting from bullets shows that there's a bit of a lack of good judgment going on there. And my particular favorite one. New York City subway ad tells fentanyl users to be empowered with tips for usage. This isn't the help these people need. And these headlines are just from the month of June. This world is being led by a totally insane spirit, so no wonder nobody in the world has any idea on how to judge properly. As the woman suffrage campaigner Emmeline Pankhurst said, "Justice and judgment often lie a world apart." But what does God say about judgment? The answer can be found in Proverbs 29, verse 14, where it states, I'll just read it out, you can just put it in your notes, "The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever." As members of God's family, it will be our task to pass judgments and rulings. If we learn to judge righteously now, we will become eternal kings with eternal thrones. Of course, we can't talk about judgment without the example that we have been given of King Solomon and the two women. So if you'd like to turn with me over to 1 Kings 3, and we'll start in verse 16. That's 1 Kings 3, and we'll start in 16. "Then came there two women, they were harlots, unto the king, and stood before him. And the one woman said, O Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass on the third day after I was delivered, that this woman also delivered. And we were together, there was no stranger with us in the house, save that we two were in the house. And the woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight, and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. When I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other one said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son." Sounds like a bit of a tongue twister, doesn't it? "This they spoke before the king. Then said the king, This one says, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but the son is that thy son is dead, and my son is living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought the sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to one, and half to the other. Then spoke the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no way slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, it is in no wise, and in no way slay it. This she is the mother thereof. And all of Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Can you just imagine the look on the faces of these two individuals when the sword was brought in? The amount of tension in that room must have been huge. But Solomon understood a way of getting to the truth, that a mother's love is far stronger than merely the desire to have a child. This is only one example that we've been given of Solomon's judgments, but I can almost guarantee you there are many, many more examples he could have written of. After all, the Queen of Sheba wondered at all his judgments. Solomon specifically asked for wisdom so that he could judge Israel. As members of the God family, we will be judging not just physical nations, but as in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2 to 3, which states, we will also be judging the angels. So in conclusion, what does it take to be a king? Well, we will definitely need wisdom, not man's wisdom, but God's wisdom, and the ability to judge righteously. These two attributes are by no means all that we will need to be godly kings. We will need, of course, subjects that have had the Holy Spirit poured out upon them, and the laws of the land, such as the sabbatical year and the Jubilee, being enforced. But as of now, we are in training. We can go to God daily and ask for his wisdom. We can learn from the examples God has given us in the Bible how to righteously judge. We are each in constant daily training in how to become righteous kings.